Today we have, in the Sermon on the Mount, we have Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. I want to give you four verses that are for your very great encouragement this morning. I hope they will be to your encouragement. Matthew 7, 7 says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Father, may the teaching of your word be acceptable in your sight. Lead us, assure us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I see, friends, with these verses, the Lord Jesus is starting to bring around the plane for landing here. He's starting to summarize the things that he has been teaching us now through these last few chapters. With these words here today, he places in our hands the key to drawing upon the very power of the Almighty One, drawing it down into our lives. We've been studying this message for some months now. We have been challenged many times over in the Sermon on the Mount. This has been the embodiment of God-pleasing, peace-bringing, spiritually abundant life and conduct. Do you agree? This is the messages that Jesus has given us since chapter 5 of Matthew have been wonderful. And the thing is, we've often, over the course of these weeks, we have often felt our inadequacy. We've often had our faults and our failings and our wrong thinking and our wrong attitudes turned up and exposed to us. We've hopefully been able to recognize some of our misconceptions of what God wants and what he's like. I think we've had some of our personal hypocrisies shown to us and how we take the Lord for granted and how we kind of take religion for granted. It's been a rich journey, I think, through the Sermon on the Mount, but it hasn't necessarily been an easy journey. As I said, Jesus has challenged us lots of times. He's prodded our consciences a few times, I think, and has corrected us. And frankly, I'm glad that God sent his Son into the world to show us the right way. Okay? He's shown us the ways of God, and if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, where would we be? If we have felt at times ashamed of ourselves, ashamed of our sinfulness or our shortcomings, as some of you have expressed, this message really showed to me where I have fallen short, well then let the words that we have today be a very great comfort to you, be an encouragement to you. This is in fact one of the purposes of Jesus' teaching. It's to remove our reliance upon ourselves, right? And it's one of the purposes of the Sermon on the Mount to take away your trust in yourself and in your own righteousness and to show you that that's a pretty shaky foundation and to have you put your trust only and wholeheartedly in a God who is good, good beyond our imagining. The mission of Jesus is to get men and women like you and me to abandon our mistaken notions of our own righteousness and hunger and thirst for the true righteousness, God's own righteousness. Okay? And if at times you felt disheartened or overwhelmed by, okay, Lord Jesus, I hear the things you say. We've read these chapters. I have done my best to understand you. I agree with you that your teachings are right and true. It's just out of my reach. It just seems, you say be perfect as our Father is perfect. Okay, how can anyone hope to do these things, all these things that you have been teaching us? I'm very weak. It seems quite hopeless. Okay, the Savior has been setting before us the standard of righteousness greater than the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, but he hasn't quite told us how that standard is to be achieved. Okay, so here in verse 7 to 11, some of the sweetest words, I believe, that we could ever hope to hear. Because with these words, all that we could ask or imagine is placed within our reach, and much more besides. Friends, ask, and it will be given to you. Because everyone who asks receives.
Yes.
Seek, you will find. Because everyone who seeks finds. Knock, and the door will be open to you, because the door is open to everyone who knocks. Now, these words, I believe, are meant to touch your heart. They're meant to stir up your hope. They draw you near to God.
Yes.
They coax you upward into his presence, and they banish your doubts. What do we see here in 7 and 8? Look in 7 and 8. We have the assurance that God is willing and indeed eager to bless us. Okay? Isn't that a great consolation? God is willing and in fact eager to bless us. Let us not think anymore. Drive away this thought as unworthy of God. Let us never think anymore that God is reluctant, God is aloof, God is disgruntled, that God is insincere in his offers to give to us and to bless. Okay, just put those kinds of thoughts out of your head from now on. Our friend James tells us that God gives liberally. God gives liberally without finding fault, okay, without upbraiding us, without reproach, he says. Here now we have it straight from the mouth of the Son of God, who, why did he come into the world? You know, besides to give his life for our sins, he also came to reveal the Father to us, right? He came to speak to us on God's behalf. Here's what he says on God's behalf. Ask whatsoever you will, and it will be done for you. It's a promise. It's a promise. If we simply come to the Father and ask, okay? Seek, he says. What should we seek? Well, we were just told a few verses ago to seek the kingdom of God. Okay? If you seek the kingdom of God, will you find it? Indeed. Indeed, you certainly will. Paul says in Romans chapter 2, those who seek for glory, honor, and immortality by patient endurance in doing good, God will give you what you seek, namely eternal life. He will give you eternal life. We were also told, seek the righteousness of God, a hunger and thirst for righteousness. And if you seek it, God will guide you to it. Seek truth, right? We're assured that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, are we not? Okay. Knock for entrance into the presence of God. Entrance will be granted. Okay, come in, you beloved one of my Father. Rest your weary bones. Eat and drink. Dine with me. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Come on in and take the inheritance that has been prepared for you since the beginning of the world. Okay? Jesus assures us God is eager to bless us, both in this life and in the one to come. How can you be sure? How can you be sure that he's speaking to you in particular? Because it's God's own principle. Everyone who asks receives. Okay? That means all you have to do is ask. That means you. Whoever seeks finds. Everyone who knocks will have the door opened up for him. Okay? How can you know it applies to you? Because the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Are you sinful? I am too. Have you been rebellious? So have I. Have you broken God's heart? So have I. Are you unworthy? Our sister testified, I know I'm unworthy. The promise of Jesus Christ still stands, that most assuredly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me. Do you hear that word? Whoever believes my word and believes him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, worthy or not. He has passed from death into life. And most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Those are the promises. God is willing to bless. God is ready to bless. He is willing to pardon your sins. He's willing to welcome you into eternity. He's willing to grant you everything you need until you arrive at eternity. Do you need wisdom? He will give it. Do you need consolation? He will give it. Do you need friendships? Yes, he will give them. Do you need daily bread?
Yes.
Do you need courage? All the other things that you need until eternity arrives, the promise is right there in verses 7 and 8. And then in the other three verses, 9 to 11, we have the explanation for it. Why does God delight to make promises like this? It's simply for this reason, that God is, in a word, good. He's good. And there is a depth to God's goodness that is alike in kind, but far greater in extent than the parental goodness that we encounter here in the current life. And this is a really wonderful illustration. I think maybe the best illustration that the Lord could have come up with from our ordinary life to give us some insight into the character of God and the motives of God and the mind of God. Here comes a little boy asking his papa for some bread. Why does he ask? Because he's hungry. He needs something that he doesn't have. Now, what dad is going to respond to him with mockery and with cruelty by giving him something that he can't eat? Or even worse, something dangerous to him. Instead of a fish, he'll give him a serpent which will bite him and poison him and kill him. It would never, ever enter your head to do such a thing to your little son. No, never. And you, the Lord Jesus says, you're sinners. Do you understand? You have a selfish streak a mile wide, right? We all do. Okay, but even a corrupt, selfish, self-centered sinner has enough sense and enough kindness not to treat his own little babies like enemies. Okay, Daddy, is there any bread? Well, of course, son, here you go. Okay, we have a heavenly Father who cannot even be tempted to treat us with cruelty. It never enters his mind. It is impossible for him not to treat his children with kindness. Okay, he can't even entertain the thought of giving us something harmful or useless. And we slander God by thinking that he might have some other motive in his mind to give us anything but good. Okay. Elsewhere in the Bible it says, could a mother forget the infant at her breast? Is it possible? Could she forget? Even if she could forget, the scripture says, no, never, I could never forget you. Okay, you are written on the palm of my hand. Our Heavenly Father could never, never forget us. It would never happen. You understand, we sin sometimes, we do what's right sometimes. With God, he never sins. It's impossible that it's impossible for him ever to be cruel. Okay, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? Now, remember a few weeks ago when we talked about your Heavenly Father feeds the birds, your Heavenly Father clothes the grass? Here it is again. Okay, it doesn't say God does it, but of course it's implied. Okay, ask and it shall be given to you. By who? Well, by your Heavenly Father, of course, right? Okay, we don't just receive from the ether. We don't just receive from the turning of the spheres. When we seek it, it's not because we just happen to find. It's because God himself will guide us to to our destination. God will reveal it to us. God will lead us to the goal. If we knock, it will be opened by somebody? Yes. By the Lord God himself. He will open the door to fellowship with himself because God is good. Understand? Take that home with you. Today, God is good. God is love. God wants to share his joy. He wants to share his blessings with you, with me. That's the very reason that he made us, because he is love and he made us to share himself with. If you have any doubts as to whether you are his child, don't you see now how to put that doubt to rest? All you have to do is ask him. There's usually a time in Christians' lives, especially when they're young or if they're new Christians, when they will say inside themselves, I know Jesus. I understand about him dying on the cross for me. I understand that he is my Savior and that he came so that we could have our sins forgiven. And I try to do my best to live for him, but sometimes, you know, I really just don't know. I'm not sure if I'm saved. I need the assurance of my salvation. It's not an uncommon experience. Maybe it's happened to you. Okay? Hear these words and take hold of them. Simply ask. Ask. Okay? Wanting assurance of your salvation is all right. It's part of life. But here's the answer to your doubt. Simply ask. God delights to save. God delights to bless. He will save you most assuredly. Just have faith in God. He's not tricking you. There was a man on the trip with me who said this, and I thought it was very interesting, and I think I'll try to save it. He said that the Lord doesn't require a perfect faith, just that we have faith in a perfect God. Understand? You doubt because you doubt yourself. Well, it's not yourself that matters. It's him. Okay, he is perfect. He's our perfect heavenly Father. That's all we have to do. We claim our salvation. We believe in a God who rewards those who earnestly seek him. We're told that the Father does not require from us a mountain of good works in order to become his child. It's possible that you've gotten that impression from the Sermon on the Mount. Here are all these difficult things that go against our grain, they go against our flesh and our inclinations, and we have to do all these things in order to be saved, in order to be called God's children. That's getting it all backwards. We have in the Sermon on the Mount not a new law. Let me read you something from Dr. Adersheim in a very good book he wrote, at two volumes actually, called The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah. He says this about the Sermon on the Mount. I thought it was very helpful. It's true that the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount mark the utmost limit of all possible moral conception. However, this is not the point. Every moral system that men teach is a road by which, through discipline, self-denial, and personal effort, men seek to attain a goal. Christ, however, begins with the goal. He places his disciples at once in the position to which all other teachings point as the end. Okay? Other people point toward the goal of becoming children of the kingdom. Jesus Christ makes you a child of the kingdom freely and by his grace. Okay? What other systems labor for, Jesus Christ grants you. They begin by making demands. He begins by bestowing sonship upon you. Okay? He brings good tidings of forgiveness and mercy. Okay, so here in the Sermon on the Mount, it's not a new law. It's not even a new moral system. It is entrance into a new life. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Okay, I thought that was pretty helpful. Christians, if you have asked God for pardon. Do you remember the day? We sang a song, okay? Do you remember the day? What a glorious day it was. Did you ask Jesus Christ for pardon? Did you ask him for eternal life? Then you know what? You received it. You received it. If you sought him, you have found him. If you knocked on the door, then the door was open to you. You've been given entrance into a new life, and that is the life of the age to come. Your sins have been pardoned. All that remains now is to let the Lord lead you on faithfully, steadfastly to the end.
Amen.
And so here what we have in our verses today is the key to the storehouses of heaven for everything that you need and more to finish the race that's marked out for you. Okay, we call it prayer. We don't have to call it prayer. It's, you know, prayer is a religious sounding word. Okay, just it's communication with God. It's like a little child talking to his father. Ask and it shall be given. We say prayer is powerful, right? Do Christians say that? Prayer is, there's power in prayer.
Yes.
And it's true, but let's be specific. It's not prayer that's powerful. It's God that's powerful,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay? It's God who says, let there be, and there is. It's God who works in each of you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Okay? Prayer is just the label we put on talking to God. Okay? Prayer is what they call the appointed means. Right? God has appointed this means of communicating with him that we call prayer. But that's just a child talking to his father, or as it says in the Old Testament, the way a man speaks with his friend. Right? God spoke with Moses as a man speaks with his friend. So we have to think of prayer not as something that takes skill. Okay? Skill makes a person proud. And God opposes the proud, right? He gives grace to the humble. Okay? All we're talking about when we ask, seek, and knock, all we're talking about is a childlike humility, a son or a daughter approaching their dad. And as we've been saying time and time again throughout the Sermon on the Mount, it's a matter of the heart, isn't it? Okay, it's we've been making this point over and over again that obedience or righteousness isn't a matter of what we do on the outside. It's not in our performances or in external actions. It's a matter of the heart. Okay, and that's just how it is here once again with ask, seek, and knock. Okay, it's not your skill that gets you a hearing. Okay, it's just a matter of who you're talking to. You're talking to your father. How you approach him. You approach him as a child with his father. And, you know, what is the nature of this relationship? And we're assured that this father, he's better than any earthly father. He is of greater goodwill toward us than any earthly father. And we should approach him on that basis. Okay? Do you believe that I am able to do the thing you ask? Yes, Lord, I know that you're able to do all things. Okay? Therefore ask. That means we can keep our prayers simple. There's no need to, as he said before, no need to babble on like pagans, right? There's no need for churchy talk or ecclesiastical talk. So we can keep it simple. We can get rid of anxiety when we pray. There's no need for us to worry what a day might bring. There's no need for us to fret over the state of our souls. I know whom I believed. I am persuaded he's able to keep his promises toward me. Knowing that we can ask and it will be given to us allows us to be generous, doesn't it? Okay. There's no need for me to hover over my little pile of treasures if I can just ask and the Lord will provide. We can expect good things in our prayers whenever we pray. We know that God has all the resources necessary to provide us and bring us home to the end, and he's ready to give them most generously. Okay, the only thing to keep in mind, and here's where it becomes important that it's not prayer that's powerful, but it's God that's powerful. The thing to keep in mind is that there's only one way to the Father, right? And that is through Jesus Christ. Okay, if we're going to call on this almighty, omnipotent God to act on our behalf, to provide for us, to supply for us, and so on, we have to come to him through the way that he has appointed, right? Through the way that he has provided, and that is his son. He's the only provision that God has made for us to come to him Okay? Our iniquities, the Bible says, separate us from God. Our hands are stained with sin. Our hearts devise evil thoughts. So, therefore, God does not hear. Well, if we want God to hear us, we have to be washed. We have to be made clean. We have to come through the cross of Calvary and come to God that way. That's the only way that God actually is your Father. And we have to be very clear about that. God is not everyone's Father. God is your Father if you have come through the Son, Jesus Christ. Okay? If you haven't admitted that need, if you haven't come to God on that basis of being reconciled to him through his Son, what use is it to ask for anything else? Okay? You could have everything your heart desires. You could have the whole world. God could give you everything else. But what would it matter? You have to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to receive the pardon of sin. You have to receive the adoption as sons. Okay? That pardon, if you haven't received the pardon from God, here it is again. Simply ask. It is there for the asking. Humble yourself before God. Ask for pardon. Ask for sonship. It will be given. God says he delights to save. He can save you today. Seek, he says. You don't have to seek very far. He's right here in this room. You can be born again today. So the only obstacle then is your own unbelief. Okay, you would just have to reject the words of Jesus here and say, well, no, I don't believe that God is willing to give it to me freely. I don't believe that God is love itself. I don't believe that that God is ready to pardon me. I do think God is stingy with blessings, or, you know, maybe he doesn't care whether I perish eternally or have everlasting life. And you'd have to simply just reject these promises. It's so very simple. Just ask. God doesn't lie. If we are given such an easy way to come to the Lord God, we can't say, we have no ground to stand on if we say, no, I don't think God really does love me. Hey, ask, seek, knock on the door. God will open it. God will welcome you. If the promise is that easy, and you do eventually find yourself condemned and put away from God, it's not God who's to blame. It's because you have refused a very simple and clear offer of pardon. Okay? Once he gives you his Son, and he has already sent his Son into the world to die, having done that, once you come into that child-parent relationship with God, he will add to you all other blessings you could possibly ask for. If you're already a Christian, which most of you are, let me just end here with the encouragement to pray day and night. Anytime, all the time. Okay, with a promise like this, really, what's keeping us? I had to slap myself around several times this week and say, you know, why? It's so clear. It's so obvious. The Lord, you know, why would you hesitate? The Lord Jesus has told me that God will grant my petition whenever I ask for these good things. God is ready to give good things. And it really ought to revolutionize how we approach God if we realize the only reason you don't have these good things, as James again says, is because you don't ask. You have not because you ask not. And just, you know, maybe give some thought to what you pray for. I think maybe Jesus telling us that God gives good things, maybe that's a little bit of a clue to help us frame our prayers. What in the mind of God is a good thing? If you're in need, or if you're in pain, or there is some difficulty in your life, perhaps the good thing that God will give is not the immediate rescue from that situation. Okay, it may not be the immediate cancellation of the need or the pain. Patience is a good thing. God will give that. Understand? Joy is a good thing. Perseverance. These are good things. Wisdom. Gentleness. Toughness or grit, self-control. consolation. If we ask for these things, will God not give them to me? I think something I often ask for personally is the right words to say at the right time. Okay, your heart yearns to minister to a friend of yours or to a neighbor. I don't know what I'm going to say to this person. Well, ask. Ask for the right words to say at the right time. And you can be sure that God will guide that process, that God will give these good things, because that's asking according to the will of God, isn't it? Okay. One of the pastors that we met there in Israel, he is an Arab. He lives in an Arab neighborhood, Bethlehem. Bethlehem is no longer a Christian city. It is exclusively an Arab city. His father was a pastor. He's now a pastor. His ministry is evangelizing Muslims there in Bethlehem. And it's hard work. He has suffered. His family has suffered. His uncle was shot to death. I think his father was shot but lived. He said this: we don't pray for protection. We pray for boldness. Okay? That hit me. Because I always pray for protection. Didn't you pray for protection? That the pastor would come home safely? Or, I would like to get home safely. I pray for protection. We don't pray for that, he said. We pray for boldness. Okay? That changed my perspective. Okay? If my own safety is the good thing that I'm asking for, the pastor said, how are you going to ever glorify Jesus? How are you going to show his power to uphold you and your weakness, okay, your power to withstand everything hell can throw against you? Okay, no, we pray for boldness. Just think about that. Think about how you pray for one another when we're sick, okay? We always want to, I'm sure that you've been sick, I've been sick, we want to get out of it as soon as possible. But let's think, what is a good thing, a quote, good thing that God could do in this situation? Is there something even better than immediate healing? God says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, right? So hang in there and I'll do other great things. So what about fortitude? What about compassion with others who are in suffering? What about fellowship with Jesus Christ, who, we're trying to escape suffering. He voluntarily comes into the world and takes on suffering for us because he loves us, okay? He says, here am I, send me, I'll go suffer. I'm just saying, when you don't know how to pray in a situation, try to turn over in your mind. Try to ask the Spirit, what are the good things, quote, good things, that the Father is all too eager to give me that I should ask for? Don't hesitate to ask for them then. You can know that they'll be given. The Lord loves you much more even than your own earthly dad loves you, much more than you realize. God is good all the time. And we thank the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever for bringing us into this relationship with Amen. Such a Father. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we simply bow our knees before you and lift up our hearts and our faces to you. Father, shine down on us and warm us with the knowledge of your love. Comfort, Lord, those who are anxious, those who are suffering, those who are sick. Lord, we love the people around us, and our hearts yearn for them whenever they suffer. And we know, Father, that you are doing that good work of tying our hearts closely together in the bonds of love. We pray that you would continue to do that supernatural and precious work, Lord, of uniting our hearts in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask for this, Father. We ask that you would show your glory in our midst. We ask that you would help us, Lord, to be useful to you, that we would shine out of our place and bring in others, Lord, into this most wonderful and warm relationship with a Father who is good, good beyond our understanding. Praise you, Lord God in heaven. Thank you for your so many blessings. Please, please comfort us, strengthen us. Give us wisdom. Give us a genuine love for you and for one another. These are our prayers, Lord God, and we ask knowing that it is your will indeed that these things will be done. We offer ourselves to you in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.